It was even possible, he supposed, that it had harbored life. If so, that life was now destroyed or fled, every trace of its passing scorched from the surface by the dying sun. But this dead, blasted world still had a moon. Though much smaller than its parent, the moon glowed more brightly, reflecting more of the complex mixed light of the twin stars, and its surface appeared, at first glance, utterly smooth, so that the little worldlet looked like a cue ball machined in some great lathe. When David looked more closely, however, he could see there was a network of fine cracks and ridges, some of them evidently hundreds of kilometers long, all across the surface. The moon looked rather like a hard-boiled egg, he thought, whose shell had been assiduously, if gently, cracked with a spoon. This moon was a ball of water ice. Its smoothed surface was a sign of recent global melting, presumably caused by the grotesque expansion of the parent star, and the ridges were seams between plates of ice, and, perhaps, like Jupiter's moon Europa, there was still a layer of liquid water somewhere beneath this deep frozen surface, an ancient ocean that might serve as a harbor, even now, for retreating life. He sighed. Nobody knew. And right now, nobody had the time or resources to find out. There was simply too much to do, too many places to go. But it wasn't the rocky world or its ice moon, not even the strange double star itself, but something much grander beyond this little stellar system which had drawn him here. He turned now and looked beyond the stars. The nebula spanned half the sky. It was a wash of colors, ranging from bright blue-white at its center, through green and orange, to somber purples and reds at its periphery. It was like a giant watercolor painting, he thought, the colors smoothly flowing one into another. He could see layers in the cloud, the texture. The strata of shadows made it look surprisingly three-dimensional, with finer structure deeper in its heart. The most striking aspect of the larger structure was a pattern of dark clouds, rich with dust, set out in a startlingly clear V-shape before the glowing mass, like an immense bird raising black wings before a flame. And before the bird shape, like a sprinkling of sparks from that bonfire behind, there was a thin veil of stars separating him from the cloud. The great river of light that was the galaxy flowed around the nebula, passing behind it as if encircling it. Even as he turned his head from side to side, it was impossible to grasp the full scale of the structure. At times it seemed close enough to touch, like a giant, dynamic wall sculpture he might reach into and explore, and then it would recede, apparently to infinity. He knew his imagination, evolved to the 1,000-kilometer scale of Earth, was inadequate to the task of grasping the immense distances involved here. For if the sun was moved to the center of the nebula, humans could build an interstellar empire without reaching the edge of the cloud. Wonder surged in him, sudden, unexpected. I am privileged, he thought anew, to live in such a time.
This is the end of this cassette. This program is continued on side one of cassette number 7.